Corvallettes. Please, Mr. Postman, which reminds me, I think Rexall has stamps on sale this weekend. 10% off. Not to worry, we still have our Mr. Sutherland stamps.
Donald Sutherland.
Yes.
Yes, we do.
So I think we've probably got enough to last us till next Christmas, the way the letter writing we've been doing it.
All right.
I can remember coming home from a holiday somewhere, and it was a postcard. And I wrote to my girlfriend as fast as I could. And I ran down. So I was living on Ottawa Drive, because I can remember the drugstore had the mailbox up front. And I put the postcard in. And I think then I realized I hadn't put a stamp on it. Yes. Well.
And it's a postcard, so it's not going anywhere.
So from Wednesday's Free Press, a lament for the vanishing art of letter writing, if you want to look it up, Pam Frampton, because she says, a 1951 letter from my father to my mother before they were married, quote, remember that I still love you very much and I'm longing to see you. And then one for my mother, to me, in her elegant cursive script, which makes my eyes mist. Hope you're all right. I always worry about you. ..
Yeah.
Precious, beyond words now, knowing she will never write to me again. Pam Frampton. It is 2 minutes after 7. I am Ron Robinson.
Pardon me?
I am Ron Robinson.
Oh, that's nice.
I am Ozymandias of Egypt. Look on my works, you mighty, and tremble. Or better yet, listen to the radio. Who are you?
I'm Carol, and you're listening to
That's right.
Saturday Morning
Exactly.
Show.
Here for you every Saturday.
Yes.
We get in the little hamster wheel, and we run as fast as we can.
Yes. Some of us pay more attention than others to what's going
right?
on.
At yes. 2 minutes after 7.
Yep.
CKUW-FM, 95.9.
Here.
On your FM dial.
In Winnipeg.
That's half hour. Something for the children. Absolutely. Okay. Etta James as well. See if we can work the D-drifters in, too, I'm thinking.
Yep.
And I think we have an anniversary here, yes? I just threw my notes are scattered among.
Is it Stephen Foster?
It could. No. It's going to be Stephen Foster. But actually, it's
Robert Shaw,
I was thinking of.
Oh, okay.
And we'll tell you more about him after.
He's got about six little pieces of paper with little notes all over them. Yes.
It's just in. Robert Shaw.
Okay.
Correll.
Yes.
Mr. Shaw died on this day in 1999.
Oh.
The age of 82. Something from them then, yes?
Okay.
Thou art gone.
lovely.
Robert Shaw Carell, from their CD, Stephen Foster Songbook. At 6 minutes after seven, Carol McKibben. What about, yes. I've had a bit more coffee. Hold on. Jumble.
Okay. T-B-Y-A-T.
Batty?
Yes.
I see. You're staring at me.
I think
you're looking at me.
I think the usual thing is, if you can use it in a sentence,
I see.
It's a word.
Well, it's come up a number of times, and a couple of times it has come up is American spelling as well.
That's true. Yes. Sometimes
we
need.
We're going to have to build a big fence at the border.
Yes.
That can catch all the American spellings as they come across.
That would be
That's
good.
What I'm thinking.
Yes, I think it's nearly impossible because...
Don't tell you know who.
I see it creeping over to England now, pronunciations and
what
spelling.
Rough beast is this creeping over to England?
Yep.
Waiting to be born. 707. Jumble there for you. Just all part of the service here on the Saturday Morning Show.
Right.
Etta James, born Jamesetta, one word. Jamesetta James. Yeah, Jamesetta Hawkins.
Okay.
January 25th, 1938. American singer, songwriter. Started her career in 54. Performed frequently in Nashville's famed R&B clubs. But boy, she could do it all. Gospel, blues, jazz, R&B, rock and roll, soul. Gained fame with hits such as The Wallflower, Something's Got a Hold on Me, Tell Mama, which, of course, I'm pretty sure it's probably the same Tell Mama that Janis Joplin did as well. I'd Rather Go Blind.
Mm-hmm.
And this from 1960. James with the title track from that CD, At Last, at 7:11. Have we done the weather, Carol McKibben?
No, we have not.
All right, Carol McKibben, have a go at the weather. While Carol's doing that,
yes.
Here's something I was going to say at last. You want on your mixtape, because I see mixtapes for my mum now going to be at Royal RMTC.
Excellent.
Which, of course, we saw it at the Fringe, you may remember.
Yes, sports a couple
club,
of years ago.
Sports bar.
Yep.
Written and performed by Corey Bojack. It was a corker.
Yes.
Featuring a live band this time. You remember he played these cassettes off his little portable, yes.
Yeah.
So, powerhouse script.
I thought there was a live band there, but yeah.
Delivered with a balance of emotional heft and hilarious one-liners. Free Press Review from the 2019 Fringe. Pairing a soundtrack of songs you know and love with a story so unbelievable it could only be true. How true that is. Mixtapes from my mom. Highly recommended. Ron and Carol say this will be at...
It doesn't say there whether it's at the warehouse.
Well, it just did. It's got both at the bottom here.
Yeah.
I think Tom Hendry Warehouse.
I'm thinking it must be at the warehouse.
Yep. And that'll be better on a small stage.
Yes.
Okay. January 29th to February 15th. Hey, that'd make a great Valentine's Day present is all I'm saying.
Yep.
At 7:12. What about the weather?
Well, it's minus 13. Light snow. Barometric pressure, 101. Excuse me. 101.5 and rising. Humidity, 83%. Wind coming from the north-northwest at 33 and gusting to 44. And altogether, giving you a wind chill of minus 23. So, there is light snow, as I said, and it will be ending early this morning. And then it's going to clear right up. I don't know that it's going to be sunny, though. In any case, blowing snow in outlying areas throughout the morning, and wind coming from the north at 40, gusting to 60. The temperature falling to minus 13 this morning, which is what it is now, then steady. Wind chill near minus 23. Tonight, clear, becoming partly cloudy around midnight. Wind coming from the west at 30, and the temperature rising to minus 10 by the morning.
Okie dokie.
Yep.
Children's Corner coming up. Good. You don't have to wake them, shake them just yet.
What?
Because we got something first with...
Oh, I see.
Who knows? Ukraine, the war. The war could be over, according to the big voice from the south of us. Well, we'll see what happens. A couple of stories in the Free Press today, as a matter of fact, as we think of Ukraine. And we turn then to the D-drifters. And in this case, it's a heel and toe polka. We'll be right back. track workout for you there. The D-Drifters from their CD, a Ukrainian anthology. Am I the only one who seemed to feel that there was something there? I kept to find myself going, tell my ma when I go home, the boys won't leave, the girls are alone.
There was
Wait a minute.
Yep.
Borrowed, shall we say? Well, borrowed from the past, yes, I suppose. D-Drifters at 7:18.
It's a traditional one, so.
Yes, all right.
Probably goes back. It's hard to say who borrowed from whom.
I'm Darren Bernhardt, author of Prairie Oddities, and you're listening to CKUW FM 95.9.
Time for the Children's Corner on the Weekend Morning Show.
Listening Library presents The Cat in the Hat by Dr. Seuss. Read for you by Kelsey Grammer.
The Cat in the Hat. The sun did not shine. It was too wet to play. So he sat in the house all that cold, cold, wet day. I sat there with Sally. We sat there, we two. And I said, how I wish we had something to do. Too wet to go out, and too cold to play ball. So we sat in the house. We did nothing at all. So all we could do was to sit. 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 And we did not like it, not one little bit. And then something went bump. How that bump made us jump. We looked. Then we saw him step in on the mat. We looked. And we saw him, the Cat in the Hat. And he said to us, why do you sit there like that? I know it is wet and the sun is not sunny, but we can have lots of good fun that is funny. I know some good games we could play, said the cat. I know some new tricks, said the Cat in the Hat. A lot of good tricks, I will show them to you. Your mother will not mind at all if I do. Then Sally and I did not know what to say. Our mother was out of the house for the day. But our fish said, no, no, make that cat go away. Tell that Cat in the Hat you do not want to play. He should not be here. He should not be about. He should not be here when your mother is out. Now, now, have no fear, have no fear, said the cat. My tricks are not bad, said the Cat in the Hat. Why, we can have lots of good fun, if you wish, with a game that I call Up, Up, Up with a Fish. Put me down, said the fish. This is no fun at all. Put me down, said the fish. I do not wish to fall. Have no fear, said the cat. I will not let you fall. I will hold you up high as I stand on a ball, with a book on one hand and a cup on my hat. But that is not all I can do, said the cat. Look at me. Look at me now, said the cat. With a cup and a cake on the top of my hat, I can hold up two books, I can hold up the fish, and a little toy ship, and some milk on a dish. And look, I can hop up and down on the ball, but that is not all. Oh, no, that is not all. Look at me! Look at me! Look at me now! It is fun to have fun, but you have to know how. I can hold up the cup and the milk and the cake. I can hold up these books and the fish on a rake. I can hold the toy ship and a little toy man. And look, with my tail, I can hold a red fan. I can fan with the fan as I hop on the ball. But that is not all. Oh, no, that is not all. That is what the cat said. Then he fell on his head. He came down with a bump from up there on the ball, and Sally and I, we saw all the things fall. And our fish came down too. He fell into a pot. He said, do I like this? Oh, no, I do not. This is not a good game, said our fish as he lit. No, I do not like it, not one little bit. Now look what you did, said the fish to the cat. Now look at this house, look at this, look at that. You sank our toy ship, sank it deep in the cake. You shook up our house and you bent our new rake. You should not be here when our mother is not. You get out of this house, said the fish in the pot. But I like to be here. Oh, I like it a lot, said the Cat in the Hat to the fish in the pot. I will not go away. I do not wish to go. And so, said the Cat in the Hat, so, I will show you another good game that I know. And then he ran out, and then fast as a fox, the Cat in the Hat came back in with a box. A big red wood box. It was shut with a hook. "Now look at this trick," said the cat. "Take a look." Then he got up on top with the tip of his hat. "I call this game Fun in a Box," said the cat. "In this box are two things I will show to you now. You will like these two things," said the cat with a bow. "I will pick up the hook. You will see something new. Two things, and I call them Thing One and Thing Two. These things will not bite you. They want to have fun." Then out of the box came Thing Two and Thing One, and they ran to us fast. They said, "How do you do? Would you like to shake hands with Thing One and Thing Two?" And Sally and I did not know what to do, so we had to shake hands with Thing One and Thing Two. We shook their two hands, but our fish said, "No, no, those things should not be in this house. Make them go. They should not be here when your mother is not. Put them out," said the fish in the pot. "Have no fear, little fish," said the cat in the hat. "These things are good things." And he gave them a pat. "They are tame, oh, so tame. They have come here to play. They will give you some fun on this wet, wet, wet day." "Now here is a game that they like," said the cat. "They like to fly kites," said the cat in the hat. "No, not in the house," said the fish in the pot. "They should not fly kites in a house. They should not. Oh, the things they will bump. Oh, the things they will hit. Oh, I do not like it, not one little bit." Then Sally and I saw them run down the hall. We saw those two things bump their kites on the wall, bump, thump, thump, bump, down the wall in the hall. Thing Two and Thing One, they ran up, they ran down. On the string of one kite, we saw Mother's new gown, her gown with the dots that are pink, white, and red. Then we saw one kite bump on the head of her bed. Then those things ran about with big bumps, jumps, and kicks, and with hops and big thumps and all kinds of bad tricks. And I said, "I do not like the way that they play. If Mother could see this, oh, what would she say?" Then our fish said, "Look, look!" And our fish shook with fear. "Your mother is on her way home. Do you hear? Oh, what will she do to us? What will she say? Oh, she will not like it to find us this way." "So do something fast," said the fish. "Do you hear? I saw her, your mother. Your mother is near. So as fast as you can, think of something to do. You will have to get rid of Thing One and Thing Two." So as fast as I could, I went after my net, and I said, "With my net, I can get them. I bet with my net, I can get those things yet." Then I let down my net. It came down with a plop, and I had them at last. Those two things had to stop. Then I said to the cat, "Now you do as I say. You pack up those things, and you take them away." "Oh, dear," said the cat. "You did not like our game. Oh, dear. What a shame. What a shame. What a shame." Then he shut up the things in the box with the hook, and the cat went away with a sad kind of look. "That is good," said the fish. "He has gone away, yes, but your mother will come. She will find this big mess, and this mess is so big and so deep and so tall, we cannot pick it up. There is no way at all." And then, who was back in the house? Why, the cat! "Have no fear of this mess," said the cat in the hat. "I always pick up all my playthings, and so I will show you another good trick that I know." Then we saw him pick up all the things that were down. He picked up the cake and the rake and the gown and the milk and the strings and the books and the dish and the fan and the cup and the ship and the fish, and he put them away. Then he said, "That is that." And then he was gone with a tip of his hat. Then our mother came in, and she said to us two, "Did you have any fun? Tell me, what did you do?" And Sally and I did not know what to say. Should we tell her the things that went on there that day? Should we tell her about it? Now, what should we do? Well, what would you do if your mother asked you?
We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of The Cat in the Hat.
We did.
By Dr. Seuss.
We did, thank you. Kelsey Grammer.
It's been a long time since I've heard
thank
that.
You.
It was great.
Random House. Because they've also done, it says here, The Cat in the Hat, another Dr. Seuss favorites. 9 complete stories featuring performances by John Cleese, Billy Crystal, Ted Danson, Kelsey Grammer, Dustin Hoffman, John Lithgow, Walter Matthau, and Mercedes McCambridge. That's from a long time ago, I think.
Wow.
Don't know. I got this from the MCC.
Wow.
This was actually free, but not at the MCC.
Right.
But it was a way of promoting.
When you say the MCC, what you mean is...
It's a secret, secret.
The Mennonite Central Committee Charity Shop.
But I'm telling them where they are, where it is, though.
No, oh, you don't right. have to.
Just
well,
off.
There are only so many in the city, so.
But when I go to just a sergeant, it's a goodie. Okay. 728, Carol McKibben.
Yes.
And something else for the boys and girls, and that is, well, it's actually for adults. I'm looking at the Winnipeg Public Library, and they've got something come called Learn About the Huddle for Youth. Drop into our information table in the lobby to meet staff from the Huddle for Youth. Learn about programs and services for youth ages 12 to 29.
Oh.
This is at the Millennium Library, the lobby there. It's for adults and for seniors. Noon till 2 on Monday, January 27th. I was trying to make that rhyme like Dr. Seuss. It's got into my head now. What shall I do? Make it rhyme. Just us two. Stop. Stop, said the cat in the hat. And let's have a march. Let's have a march for the children.
Well.
Something special this way today.
Yes. You know what?
Yes.
We played this the other day, and we remembered all the words.
There you go. All right, yep. Get ready to march then.
And okay.
Children, put your coffee cup down now.
And the parents or grandparents or whoever, sing along.
Who's the leader of the club that's made for you and me? M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E. Hey there, hi there, ho there, you're as welcome as can be. M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E.
Mickey Mouse! Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mickey Mouse!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Forever let us hold our banner high, 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 high. Come along and sing the song and join the jamboree.
M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E.
Mickey Mouse Club, Mickey Mouse Club. We'll have fun, we'll meet new faces. We'll do things and we'll go places. All around the world we're marching.
Along to that.
Yep.
Good for you.
It's from the Walt Disney CD, Classic Disney, Volume 2, Mickey Mouse Club March from 1953. And there was something about that fellow was the host, I think, was he not?
Yes.
The voiceover you mentioned.
I think
yes.
So. Who do I have here? I don't have a name.
One moment, please.
Jimmy Dodd, maybe.
Jimmy Dodd.
Jimmy Dodd.
Right, is the name we were looking for.
Yes.
Don't bother calling us. We found the name. Yet.
Yep. Yep.
At 7:32 then.
Wrote the music, any case.
It's Hokum and Bunkum time now.
What?
Show of hands, who remembers?
Yes.
A. Walter Brennan.
Yes.
Acting with not all his teeth, and I think seemed to work for him very well. Real Bravo, of course. You know, well, worked with Humphrey Bogart. You know,
right.
Worked with everybody.
Yes.
Of course. Crotchety, yes. So what I have here in my hand is a cassette called The Best of Walter Brennan.
Oh.
And so, of course, we played Old Rivers, That Mule, and Me. Who knew there was a sequel? Yes, indeed,
what?
Called Old Rivers Trunk.
Okay.
Okay. I was there at the auction sale here a while back when they sold out Old River's place. Old River's was gone and the taxes was due and they couldn't find next to kin no place. You know, it kind of brought a tear just to see that crowd. Every friend Old River's ever known. Seems they was kind of paying their respects in the only way that they could. When they hauled out a dusty old trunk, the man couldn't even get a bid. So I bid $2 they couldn't afford. I was kind of curious about what was under the lid. Well, Rivers is gone, but not forgotten. To me, he'd always live on. No more plowing the corn and the cotton. He won't have to work no more. Well, I loaded that old trunk and headed for home because it was getting along about dusk. And the last of Old River's belongings was gone. He never did get a hold of much. Early next morning, I opened it up. And the only thing of worth that caught my eye was a tattered old Bible that had seen a lot of use. The one Old River's lived by. Old River's is gone, but not forgotten. To me, he'll always live on. No more plowing the corn and the cotton. He won't have to work no more.
From a cassette, boys and girls. Your grandparents can explain that to you.
Right.
Aren't they coming back? Walter Brennan.
Somebody told us cassettes are coming back.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, vinyl. If vinyl can come back, why not cassettes, eh?
Well.
Get Neil Culligan on the phone.
Yeah.
What about the technical call?
He might be the one that told us.
7:35.
Yes.
And I've got a birthday.
Yes.
Andy Cox. Does that name ring a bell? British guitarist.
Not really.
Fine Young Cannibals?
Oh, okay.
Aha.
That rings a bell.
Thank you.
That from their CD, The Raw and the Cooked, that also has Good Thing on it. And before, do you remember they did Suspicious Minds?
Oh, right. Yeah, they did a lot of good things.
Played the whole Nightline, you know. Yes. 7:39. Call it 7. Wait a minute. 5, 4, 3, 2. All right, 7:40.
Okay.
Here on where we are, CKW. Because I'm looking at, on this day, 1955, Columbia University developed an atomic clock accurate to within 1 second in 300 years.
There was this guy who was a regular guy who lived a regular life. Got up 7:30 every morning, had the same breakfast, kissed the same wife goodbye every morning, went to the same office, came home. This he did Monday through Friday. On Saturdays, he played with the children, did handiwork around the house. Sundays, he took the family out in the station wagon to the suburbs. And there they looked at the houses and the trees, the billboards, the gasoline stations and the railroad crossings. And his life might have gone on like this forever. Except one night something strange happened to him. You see, he went to bed at 10:30, and some of his friends stayed up later. And one of them, closing up a place that closed at 2 in the morning, decided to call this regular liver and said, "What time is it?" on the telephone. Well, he woke up and he said, "Who's this? Who's this? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. It's no time to call. Bye." But the practical joker called every night, 2 o'clock in the morning. And he did this for 2 weeks. The friend cajoled, said, "Who is it? Stop." Finally, after 2 weeks, the practical joker lost interest in the joke and did stop. Then came 2 o'clock, and the phone didn't ring. So he woke up. Why isn't the phone ringing? And he discovered that the only way that he could go back to sleep was to say, "What time is it?" And look at his watch and say, 2 o'clock. Then he could sleep. He did this a couple of nights until he began to think, "It's 2 o'clock where I am. What time is it in New York? Or in Hollywood? Or in London, or in Hong Kong, in Cairo?" He didn't know. So the next day he went out and he bought himself some clocks. He got clocks from all over, and he put them all over the walls, and the time was there. He knew what time it was everywhere that counted. And this made him feel comfortable. He became so interested in time that he got little egg timers and gave them away as presents. He read about time in books, sidereal time. Time way out in the universe. He knew what time it was on Arcturus and the Pleiades and the Milky Way. One night, though, at 2 o'clock in the morning, the light wouldn't go on. The fuse had blown. But suddenly he realized he knew what time it was without even looking. Not only in the important cities of this world, but in the entire universe. And naturally, he began to brag a little the next day. He told people, "I know what time it is." And they tested him. And he did know. The administration had changed at this particular time, and they wanted to save money. So they got rid of all their astronomers, all their telescopes, their weights and measures, and they put this man in Washington in a little room where he sits to this day, simply saying, "Beep, the time now is..."
Beep.
Well, there you are. Probably accurate. Every 300 years as well, up to 300. 7:44, that was Ken Nordine, of course, from a 2-CD set of... Actually, 4 classic albums on a 2-CD set. Titled, Ken Nordine. 7:44. Carol McKibben?
Yes.
I'm just thinking, I think, have you got something?
Yeah,
oh,
sure.
Just a minute. Who are we? Where are we? Do you have your cheer from your Ottawa days?
For high school?
Yes.
Green and white, for what we want, we always fight. Who are you? Who am I? We're the gang from Ridgemont High. Arica, raca, raca, raw, zis, boom, ba. Ridgemont, Ridgemont, raw, raw, raw.
Did you actually get to chant that, did you?
Well, yes, I guess so. Otherwise, how would I remember it?
Well, I was going to say, well, we had...
50-odd years later.
Babies in a high chair, who put them up there? Ma, pa, zip, boom, ba, Robinsons, Robinsons, raw, raw, raw. That worked for us. And when we said with great enthusiasm, by I may add, at 7:45.
So when would you use that chant? Like ours was
whenever
like
it struck
sports
you.
Games
whenever
or sudden,
well,
team spirit.
If you were going to beat up another family or something, I suppose.
What?
Well, we
that's because
that,
your dad was a thistle.
That's true. My mother could have married a ritzy, but no. 7:45.
Yes.
Did we play an ID? We did. We were good. I was going to play.
Well, you were going to.
That's what it was.
And you got distracted.
It's coming back to me
by
now.
School chants.
I'm Steve Burgess, author of Who Killed Mum. You're listening to CKUW-FM, Down with the University of Manitoba.
Holy moly. I didn't make him say that.
Okay.
He wanted to do it himself at 7:45.
Yes.
At the time, beep, well, in 7 seconds, will be 7:46.
Okay.
What have you got for the people, Carol?
Well, I thought I would talk today about Felix Mendelssohn's Wedding March in C major, which was written in 1842 and is one of the best known of the pieces from his suite of incidental music to Shakespeare's play A Midsummer Night's Dream. It is one of the most frequently used wedding marches, generally being played on a church pipe organ, which really, I mean, we all love to hear it on piano or any other way, but a church pipe organ, that's the way to go.
Boop, 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 boop.
Well, not, yeah,
not
okay.
quite, but something along that
sure.
line.
Sure, yeah. At weddings in many countries, this piece is commonly used as a recessional and frequently teamed with the bridal chorus from Richard Wagner's opera, Lohengrin. I think that's the one that Here Comes the Bride. And or it could be teamed with Jeremiah Clarke's Prince of Denmark's March, both of which are often played for the entry of the bride. The first known instance of Mendelssohn's wedding march being used at a wedding was when Dorothy Carew and Tom Daniel wed at St. Peter's Church, Tiverton, that's Tiverton, England, not Ontario, on the 2nd of June, 1847, when it was performed by an organist, Samuel Ray. However, it didn't become popular at weddings until it was selected by Victoria, the Princess Royal,
yeah, right,
for her marriage to Prince Frederick William of Prussia on the 25th of January,
bingo,
1858.
There you go.
The bride, of course, was the daughter of
Queen Victoria,
who loved Mendelssohn's music and... really.
Who doesn't? Really.
Yes. And for whom Mendelssohn often played while on his visits to Britain. An organ on which Mendelssohn gave recitals of the wedding march, among other works, is housed in St. Anne's Church, Tottenham. If you're ever there, you could see it.
And you win the lottery and you can help them restore it, I suppose.
Possibly. Well, yes, yeah, right. Possibly. It's possible the organ is not on view. Two organs often aren't. Franz Liszt.
You know what?
Yes?
Often organs aren't on view.
What did I say?
No, I'm just being rude.
Oh, okay. Oh, I... very bad. Very bad. I'm trying to talk about Franz Liszt here.
Carry on.
Franz Liszt wrote a virtuoso transcription of The Wedding March and Dance of the Elves back in 1849-1850, based on Liszt's transcription. Vladimir Horowitz then transcribed The Wedding March into a virtuoso showpiece for piano and played it as an encore at his concerts. And you should look that one up on YouTube or somewhere. It is quite nice, even though it's piano and not
great piano player. Absolutely.
Right.
Mary Toscanini's daughter, you know. Yep.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Keep it in the family. Yep.
Yes, yes. So you have somebody to play on pipe organ?
Yes, we do. From a CD appropriately titled Wedding Classics. Ah. In case anybody was thinking.
Yeah, it's a classic.
It's a classic. Ross Thorne.
Wow.
Piano and organ there.
From that's the best CD. Way to listen to it, I think.
Winning Classics, pipe organ. HMV CD. 7:54, Carol McKibben. One last look at the weather.
Oh, sure. So, it's minus 13, which is what it's going to be for the rest of the day, they say. A little bit of light snow, barometric pressure 101.5 and rising, humidity 83%, wind coming from the north-northwest at 33 and gusting to 44, wind chill 23 today. Light snow ending early this morning, then clearing. Blowing snow in outlying areas this morning. Wind coming from the north at 40 and gusting to 60. Temperature falling to minus 13 this morning, which is what it is now, then steady. Wind chill near minus 23.
Okey-dokey.
Yep. Is that, do you want more?
No, that's good enough.
Oh, okay.
Just want to say that the Winnipeg Sun today,
yes,
an extended piece on that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers will not be offering Adam Big Hill a new contract. So 7 years, as we were saying, the dream probably over there. He was injured in the Labor Day Classic in 2024. He is 36, but he has another career lined up. We'll have to wait and see whether he plays for anybody else. And Canada Reads, returning to CBC. Four-day debate over the year's must-read returns March 17th.
Oh, good.
The host, Ali Hassan, presiding over the theme, One Book to Change the Narrative.
Yeah.
I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol.
We'll be back next Saturday morning, 6 till 8. Hope you can be as well. I'm going to tell you that up next, it'll be Green Planet Monitor, then Mud Puddle Radio at 9 for children of all ages. Leave you with a memory of Garth Hudson, he of the band, the only classically trained
member of the band.
Was the last, the eldest and the last surviving member of the band. He's died at the age of 87.
Well, I find it hard to believe that many bands of that era had classically trained musicians.
Probably
knew.
I wouldn't have thought so either.
Yeah.
I mean, they got the pomp and circumstance, of course, that went with the big arena stuff, you know, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, and that sort of thing.
Oh, yes, but, sure. That's
but Mr. Hudson
different.
Could do many different things, including, well, first and foremost, I guess, when he sat down at the organ.